Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. This is episode 5. We're going to be talking about atheistic morality. This is all courtesy of an email that was sent in over to the show, to myself in particular, and we're going to be tackling the subject over the next hour or so, hopefully about more an hour than an hour and a half. Joining me tonight are two folks who have been on the show, of course, before, and thank you very much for your attention. We hope that you find something interesting with the show. First up is Witchy Bunny.
Hello, I am Witchy. I was raised Jehovah's Witness. Currently identify as agnostic. And I live in the Philadelphia region.
And Unrenown Tech.
Hi, I'm UT. Not UTI. And I was brought up with a mixed religious background, Judaism and Catholicism, and I currently identify as atheist, and I reside in Maryland.
Now, normally we would have several other folks on, however, this is Valentine's Day weekend, so it is entirely possible that other folks that would otherwise be with us are, otherwise occupied. So our thoughts go out to everybody. For those of you that are spending it as part of, how can I best put this, Singles Awareness Weekend, our thoughts go to you too. And for those of you that believe in Hearts and Hooves Day, you know what? I'm right there with you, so you're welcome. Anyway, I'm going to start off tonight with the email that had come over to me. And the emailer in this case is no surprise to any of us. Why is this not allowing me to select? There we go. My screen share. So for those of you that are familiar with this, this is LibreOffice. You don't know what it's all about. Don't worry about it. It won't be a test on it later. If you're watching the show, by the way, and you'd like to submit questions while we're going, the Q&A section is up and running. The email is a little bit long, but I'm going to go ahead and read it off for you guys. And this is the first that the co-hosts have seen it. So here we go. Quote, as atheists, you and your guests espouse a society made more benevolent, less oppressive, and better by the adoption of atheism. Is that correct? Well, generally yes, although it's not specifically so. It goes on. Noted atheist author, and forgive me, is it pronounced Ayn Rand? Ayn Rand?
Ayn
Rand.
Sure, I will admit, never read. Recall that she wrote Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead, neither of which I have read. Shunned and rejected altruism. She advocated an almost dog-eat-dog society. She hailed a, quote, survival of the fittest world that celebrated the, quote, value of producers, and thought far less of those dependent on society, regardless of whether their plight was their own fault or not. In addition, we see the destruction wrought by avowed atheists of the 20th century. Lenin, Stalin, Hitler, Mao, et al. Long after the revolutions that brought them to power, Long after the revolutions that brought them to power, we witness the spiraling down of human value and human rights under each society they controlled. On the other hand, the Western nations, with their Judeo-Christian aspirations and ideals, have been at the forefront of nurturing the belief in, quote, the infinite value of the individual and extending that treatment to all persons. When we see those who choose to act in contradiction to those Judeo-Christian ideals, we say they have rejected and abandoned the ideology. Indeed, they have. Notable examples include the KKK in America and then Germany in the late 1930s. It is understood that there are professed Christians who are not Christians in practice because they reject the established standards of Christianity. And this is where it all comes down to. Questions. Given the three faces of atheism above, yours, Ayn Rand's, and the Lenin type, are there any established societal standards for behavior demanded by atheism? It appears not. Two, if you reject and do away with a societal ideal that stands for something, can you replace it with nothing? Three, how do you reconcile the three diametrically opposed standards and realities or faces of atheism above, especially, when two of the three are not that positive? And four, how can you be sure that your image of a utopian atheist society is even possible in reality? And these, of course, come from Ross. Now, before we get into it,
shoot, Jim, I would like to see that in writing, just on, if you can shoot that to me on the side so I can have it to refer to throughout the course of the show.
I will see what I can do about that in just a couple of seconds.
Oh, God. Where do they find these people?
All right. Now, let's be sure that we understand everybody, because it is very, very easy for us to grunt and groan and complain and say, as Tech said, where do you find these people? And please understand, it is not a slight on you, specifically Ross. And it's not going to be a slight on anyone else, because, and I try to remind myself of this every day, literally every day, we are a product of our upbringing. We are a product of what we have been taught more than what we have taught ourselves, far, far and away more. Because what we think of and how we behave and what we act upon, how we act, why we act, what we think, how we think, is directly affected by the formative years early on. So I'm going to say the same thing that I have said on many occasions to other people before. If we complain about what you say, it is not that we are saying that you are wrong. We are not saying that you are bad. We are not saying that we think that you're a moron. Moreover, if something like this comes up, it is because, and I will say this on behalf of all of us, we would typically think, because of what you have said, you were taught incorrectly.
Agreed.
Now it is a big blanket statement, and I understand that. So there are some people who are definitely going to go ahead and grumble and gripe about it. However, like I've said with this show, the purpose of it is truly to talk through the questions, not necessarily to come to a conclusion, although that would be always nice, but thinking through the questions that come up and trying to understand all of the meta behind a question, because I am much better at that than actually answering the question, because I don't know everything, not by a long shot. And I sure as hell ain't going to go looking through the Googles to find all of the information.
Aww.
So we're going to throw it over to Witchy first while I try to forward this this email over to you guys so that you can both have it to refer to. So, Witchy, I'm going to throw it over to you, and I'm going to try to mute out my microphone for the moment so you don't hear all the tappity-tappity-tappity.
Okay. One of my big issues with, and I know it seems like I'm nitpicking, and I'm sorry, but my real frustration, I don't want to say frustration, my real current concern with the question is the lead in on the assumption and then the follow up and then the equating the these examples to this is what atheism is and this is what atheism does. And that for me is an issue because of the, it's kind of treating atheism as a monolith. And atheism, that, and basically what I mean by that is it's treating atheism as one person or, you know, even a group of people who adhere to a label or a belief to represent the whole of that label or belief. And that is a huge concern because this seems to come up again and again where these examples get put out there and told, and we get told, this is what an atheist has done. This is what atheism does. How, what do you say about that? And my response to that has been and will continue to be, we are not a monolith. Atheists are not a monolith. Atheism is not a monolith. That's saying that you can't just take one example or even a couple of similar examples and apply it to the whole. So that right there is my first real concern with it. That said, the questions are interesting, and once I am able to get the the email to refer to, I can get back to it more in depth and take a look at it and kind of go through it. So that's my kind of opening volley.
Okay, no problem there. Unreal Tech, I know that you've got a little bit more information on the historical side of it all, so I don't feel well that that's going to be a huge help on this one.
All right. First off, I am not a historian, but due to my Jewish background and the my ancestors of where they came from in the world, I know that Hitler was not an atheist. Hitler was either Catholic or Christian, but he was of the Judeo-Christian faith, and he actually used to reference that the chosen people, the blonde hair, blue eyes, were God's chosen to rule the world, and he did have something definitely upstairs mixed up, but he followed a lot of things, a lot of ideas of like not drinking and not smoking. Granted, there was a drug cocktail that his doctor used to administer to try to keep his mentality on, you know, his crazy, whatever was wrong in his head, somewhat muted, but that was under the guise of being medicated, which there's, I guess, depends on what side of the fence you're on that one. But he was not an atheist. He thought he was doing what something upstairs was telling him to do. This was not somebody using atheism as a weapon. Now, as far as Russia goes, that's exactly what they were doing. They were using atheism as their tool. They weren't using it because that's, you know, they figured that that was the best course of action. They used it as a tool, as an excuse to remove religious power so that they had absolutely no conflicting authorities to disagree with them for any reason. They wanted everybody to say yes, do exactly what we say, or die. And if, you know that there's somebody else out there that, because the people give them power, they have power to, interfere with your actions. Well, if you're in a competition, you need to get your competition out of the competition. And that's exactly what they did. That's the nature of competition. They just took it to an extreme level involving death and murder and all that other fun stuff. As far as blaming an exorbitant amount of deaths on atheism, yeah, good luck. Because no matter how many different ways you flip-flop that pancake, when you compare it to the stack next to it, more death has occurred in the name of religion rather than in the lack of the name of religion. Doesn't matter what religion. You can pile up any of them next to atheism and count how many murders have been done in their name. Atheism looks like a drop in the bucket next to it. Because really, when was the last time you saw a militant atheist? Really? I just walking down the street, did you see a guy go, "For atheism," and smack somebody in the head? No. But we hear all the time about somebody doing something similar in the name of religion. And frankly, that should scare people. And and for those of you out there who are listening, who are religious, who do follow your faith, who don't go around judging people, you know, the ones who really do try to live their lives in accordance with the rules and the morals in a manner that doesn't harm other people. You should be the loudest voices, not the ones who do things in your religion's name, like blowing other people up, or shooting them, or hitting them with pipes, or crowbars, or baseball bats, or telling them that they're a bad person just because they want to love somebody different than you would love. You know, you should be speaking up and making sure people understand that, they may be saying that they're a Christian, but they're not acting like Christians. We want everybody to know this. Don't pay attention to this person. It'll just get worse if you do.
Yep.
there are politicians who are now saying that the only reason they say they're with one religion or another is because they want the votes. There have been politicians who have gotten out of office, and they're just starting to make headlines. If you read the newspapers, if you read the articles, get on Reddit. Go into atheism. You'll find the links. There are politicians who are now saying, yeah, you know, really, I don't believe in a God, but I had to say it, otherwise I would have never gotten voted into office. So does that mean that all atheists are liars? No, it means most politicians are liars. You can tell because their lips are moving. But as far as the generalization that Witchy was talking about too, you know, you could meet two different atheists on the street, and that's exactly what you're going to meet. You're going to meet two different people who have one thing in common. They don't believe in God or a God or multiple gods. That's it. They could be completely separate walks of life. They could have completely different self-imposed morals and ethics and you know, how their heart feels about the people around them. You could have an atheist who is a loving, caring person who gives out to the homeless, who takes care of the poor, you know, takes care of their sick parents, whatever. And you could have another atheist who, because of their environment and their upbringing, they hate everybody. But you see that in religion, too. The only difference is in religion, they blame their problems on, you know, whatever. Actually, I can't say it's different in religion because it's not. But, you know, people who blame problems on other people, it doesn't matter if they're religious or not, they're probably not taking a step back and going, listen, what's really going on here? What do I have the power to control and change, and what don't I have the power to control and change over? And the stuff that I do have the power over, how will it help me, and what action should I take, you know, to get the best result? And yeah, some people now pray for that, and other meditate. You know, hey, you know, eat your own.
Yep. All right. Now, there's a piece about this whole thing that I want to kind of tackle into, because I actually wanted to hit it as the very first item for myself to kind of do with this.
Email's getting through. Okay.
Excellent. Beautiful. Okay. What I'm going to tackle before I even get into the email itself is the title of this episode, because, like I said, it's all about the meta part of this whole thing. The title I specifically wrote out because I knew it was going to get people to go, obviously, this guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Let me go ahead and see if this guy actually knows Jack. There are many, many people in the atheism movement, the atheism visibility movement, I guess is probably the best way to put it. And yes, Sam Mulvey, if you're listening, watching, yes, it's all on you, baby, and I'm going to get you on the show one of these days. Atheistic morality is a complete non sequitur. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as morality based on atheism. The only type even close to that kind of thing would be correctly stated as humanism or secular morality. The two are somewhat different, although it's easy enough to clump them together. The idea is that if you take the idea of we are human, there are no gods, and just taking that as just a blanket statement for a second, just putting it as a compartmentalized item. As atheists, we have not been convinced that there is a God. That's the zero point. That is the null point. You need to be convinced one way or the other that there is or there is not, depending as to the proposition. For an atheist, you start at zero, because there is nothing that is readily apparent to you right away. And even if there was something readily apparent, you can start from the zero point and then work from there back and forth to, you know, where you've got your, where the evidence leads you. So with an atheist, somebody would say, there's a God. Okay. It is not something that is readily apparent to me to begin with. Convince me. And if someone can properly convince, okay, I will believe, tending to believe that the evidence to be true and accurate, which, again, true and accurate, you can get into all kinds of messy stuff with that, but be that as it may. If you start with the idea that an atheist says, I am as yet unconvinced of the possibility of there to be a God, that is different from, and I like to word it that way better, other than I don't have a belief in God. Similar wording, but it can get very muddled depending as to who you talk to and what they're hearing. I take it from the standpoint of, I am as yet unconvinced that your God exists. And again, using scare quotes for exists. Which is different from, I believe there are no gods. Which is the anti-theist position. There are no gods, period. Blanket statement, there's no way of proving that. We can make an educated guess, depending as to what information you want to bring to the table, but again, that's a whole other issue. That being said, the morality question comes from the idea of, if we are all human, and we are all brothers and sisters, cousins, nephews, nieces, aunts and uncles, removed from each other however many times across, then, as I had said from last week, the more we learn, the more we accept other people. The more we accept other people, the more we empathize. The more we empathize, the more we accept other people. And as that progresses, you get less and less my village, your village, my state, my country, my continent, your continent, my language, your language, my skin color, your skin color, and it steadily becomes just humanity. And when that empathy gets to that degree, you then start to deal with the question of what works for me, what helps me, the same thing should help others. And it may not necessarily be for, on an individual basis, it could be for society at large, the altruism question. Now, I'm going to tackle that in a little bit. I also want to catch you, by the way, on that one. Hitler was Catholic, specifically, Roman Catholic, as I recall, which was, I don't remember if that was part of the reason why the Catholic Church did not deal with World War II the way that it probably should have, but that's a whole other thing. Hitler, specifically, I know. I do not know as well as a historian by any stretch of the imagination, but I have covered some of the stuff in my old newscasts, which I have since removed from my channel because they're way dated. Hitler's thing was, he was a cult of personality. He whipped up nationalism during the Depression, the hyperinflation in Germany in the 20s and 30s, when everybody thought that everything was bad, and it was just bad, and it was just bad, because after World War I,
everyone blamed Germany for everything.
Well, it was even worse than that. Hyperinflation in Germany, to give you an example, if you went out to work today and you stopped at the store to pick up a loaf of bread and it was $2, just as a number, and you went out, you spent your 8 hours at work, you came back, you needed to buy something else at the store, suddenly you realize, you go back to the store, you look on the shelf, suddenly that $2 loaf of bread that you saw in the morning, you come back, it's now $20, or $30, or $35, or even more, because of the way that hyperinflation was just, the economy was simply falling apart. And Hitler was a cult of personality. He whipped everybody together and said, I can unify everybody, follow me, we will get We will bring the motherland, the fatherland, back to what it was. It will be a glorious thing all over again. But, pre quo quo, there are certain duties you have to take on board. For those of you that don't get the reference, watch The Lion King again. If you didn't get it the first time, watch the old newsreels from Germany from World War II. You will see exactly what they were referencing, and God, that was scary the first time to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And item last for me on this part. What Unrenown Tech said about people dying in the name of atheism. I am reminded of several people who have actually had their lives threatened or taken because they were atheist, or minimally that they even questioned the state religions. I'm thinking specifically of one journalist in India who was kidnapped off of the street and murdered because he questioned the religion of the locality. I am also thinking of people in the Maldives, one of which was an atheist blogger who, sorry, he may not have necessarily been an atheist, but he questioned. He had a Facebook post, if I remember right, saying how he celebrated Muhammad's birthday, even though he did not see him as a prophet or a god himself. And that earned him a death sentence, not from the state, but from the public. However, the state did nothing to either protect him nor to prosecute the people who killed him.
Of course not. Why?
Yep. And there is one other, I forget where he is at this point, but I believe also in India, although I could be remembering this one incorrectly, who was a skeptic and an atheist, if I remember correctly, who is invited by a church to come in and prove to the world that their statue of their holy statue of Jesus or Mary or whatever it was actually weeping tears. And on a simple look-see, he went through and found out that not only were they not tears, they had a very simple explanation. The statue was simply wicking up moisture from a broken fixture in the sewer system in the building. And the tears that were weeping out of it was simply toilet water. And after being asked, invited to look it over and to tell the world, he has damn near a death sentence himself for questioning. And it's not even a matter of going out and doing anything. These are just average people who just, again, have the ability of just asking the right questions. And their lives are threatened because they asked questions. And that's part of the reason why this whole thing got started anyway, because I like to ask questions. And that's sad. That's scary. That's one of the reasons why I am one of those fortunate people who rolled the dice genetically and am alive at the date and time and location where I am. Because here in the United States, as stands currently, by law, the state cannot do anything to me for having the religious views that I have, which in this case is nil. So, Witchy, anything you want to go off at this point? Because I don't want to take everything up.
I'm looking at the questions that have been posed to us by S. Ross. I'm going to, I guess, briefly, if I can, go through them because I know that, you know, how things tend to go around here. So the first one is, given the three faces of atheism above, ours and Rand's and the Lenin type, are there any established societal standards for behavior demanded by atheism? The answer is no. And the reason why the answer is no is because of what Unreal Tech said earlier and what I mentioned earlier. Atheists are not a monolith. This is not a unified movement. This is not a cohesive whole. This is just people getting together, or maybe even on their own, and deciding that whatever religion is the predominant one for them, or whatever religion is out there, period, isn't for them, and they just don't believe. And, you know, what they choose to do with that is their business. And the fact is that the vast majority of atheists and agnostics out there take this information and go about their daily lives peaceful, quiet. The fact that there are one or two major, quote-unquote, examples of people being absolute jerks with atheism and using that to kind of prop up an argument against atheism, and yes, I am referencing a logical fallacy. I won't say which one, but I am thinking it really, really loudly. It is kind of indicative of the fact that this isn't a worldwide societal problem. It's just a couple of people who may or may not, in Hitler's case, happen to be atheists being jerks. And that's pretty much it.
Okay. If you don't mind just for a second, to kind of pull that one together, I think you're going to agree with me. Saying that, assuming for a second that Hitler was an atheist, just for a second, Hitler, Mao, Lenin, Stalin, all this stuff, saying that they as atheists were bad people, ergo atheists are bad people, that the little ones are the rule as opposed to the exception, is kind of like saying the KKK and the Westboro Baptist Church and the snake handlers and the Baptists are the examples of what Christianity is actually about versus the exception to the rule.
Thank you. That is perfect. If you reject and do away with a societal ideal that stands for something, can you replace it with nothing? Well, that's assuming that atheism is in fact nothing. See, rejecting a religion doesn't mean you're rejecting morality. It doesn't mean you're rejecting treating people with decency and respect. Because, again, as I've discussed in past Holy Crap podcasts, the concept of morality isn't unique to religion. I know we as folks who have been raised in a religious, you know, context tend to think it is because that's how we were raised. But in societies where there is no religion, or in societies where there weren't religion, where there wasn't religion, because I can grammar, societies where there was no religion, there was still morality, and there was still a sense of, you know, of a type of morality is really the only way I can put it. And the religion is the function of a higher society. I mean, let's face it, any type of organized religion requires that, you know, you have the basics sorted out, such as not getting into wars with fellow tribes or villages, not getting into, you know, having the ability to feed your people, usually, and, you know, having the whole society thing worked out to a fairly advanced level. And in order for us to get to that point, we had to have some sort of moralistic tendencies in the first place to survive as, you know, independent tribe states long enough to get to the point that we are. So morality isn't specifically a religious thing. So again, atheism doesn't necessarily mean it's nothing. It just means we're rejecting the status quo of standardized and, you know, oh God, what's the word? Of major, you know, religion. Organized religion. Thank you.
Or at least the status quo currently is a status quo.
Yes, thank you. How do you reconcile the three diametrically opposed standards, realities, faces of atheism above, especially when two of the three are not that positive? Again, not a monolith. I mean, there is no way I can really, and I know I keep saying it, but there's really no way I can phrase that any better. You can't prop up one or two or three examples of something and say, this is X. I mean, like Shujin said, it's the same thing as saying the Westboro Baptist Church is what Christians are. Because let's face it, the Westboro Baptist Church is the only group I know that takes the Bible 100% literally. I'm not joking. He said that he takes certain parts of it figuratively.
No. Ken Ham says he takes the Bible. What was it? Naturally. Whatever in the hell that is.
Right. So, you know, barring the Amish Wolverine,
For those that are keeping count, that is one. You know what? Yeah. I'm gonna start adding that to the show notes and just keep it Amish Wolverine count one.
You know,
no, wait a second. That's not two. I'm sorry.
That's three.
Gotta be meta with this.
Yeah, you use it twice.
Great.
While I compose myself here.
Barring Ken Ham, since I've now broken Edward on tech. Honestly, the Westboro Baptist Church is really the only group I know that takes the Bible literally, and to say this is what Christianity is, when it very obviously is not what Christianity is to the vast majority of Christians out there, well, who do you hold up as your example? The worst possible example, or all the rest of the people who are doing good in the name of their religion? Why is the fact that agnostics and atheists don't know or don't believe have to have the very worst held up as their example and told, well, this is your face, this is who represents you? No, it's not. Just no. And then how can you be sure that your image of utopian atheist society is even possible in reality? How come there's no, you know what, we don't. First off, I'm not sure anyone has actually really, and this is part of the situation or the problem that I was seeing in the question in the first place, was you started off with an assumption of that we espouse a society made more benevolent, less oppressive, and better by the adoption of atheism. I don't know that we do. As far as I'm aware, all we're doing is asking the questions and kind of seeing where that leads. I don't know that any of us are really espousing any type of actual view here other than, well, this is what makes sense to me and this isn't. I mean, we're not up here going New World Order or anything like that. We're just going, you know, hey, why? You know, kind of prodding religion with a stick and going, hey, you know, what's going on? Why is this like this? Why can't we, you know, believe this other way? So, you know, asking about our image of a utopian atheist society is kind of a fallacy in and of itself and presumptive. And I don't want to say asking in bad faith, because that's not exactly what I mean, but it's kind of elite. The whole thing has kind of been leading, and that was if you saw my facial expressions when I was first reading it, that's why I had the facial expressions I did. But that said, no, I don't believe a utopian atheist society is even possible in reality, because I'm not entirely sure a utopian society is possible in reality at all, not as long as we have people who believe that, you know, butter side up versus butter side down for toast. I mean, people are going to find a reason to fight. And, you know, it's just, it's always going to be the stupid things. It always has been. But do I believe that trying to understand one another could lead to a utopian society? Yeah, maybe one day if we work hard at it. That's pretty much where I stand on things. I'm done.
Okay. Tech, back for you.
All right. Question number one. I think that one's been kind of beaten with the dead horse this time.
With the dead horse, huh?
But you know, when you start making assumptions, that's when you start making an ass out of not only yourself, but the people around you that you're making the assumption about. And the assumption that all atheists are bad is as dumb as saying all Christians are bad, or all Muslims are bad, or all, you know, Jews are bad, or Wiccans are bad, you know.
Or, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but, you know, hey.
Yeah.
Any group.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody of a skin color is bad because of their melanin and their melanin and melanin in their skin.
The melanoma in my skin. Wow.
Yeah, gosh, I hope not. Nobody deserves that. Anyway, you just happen to have more freckles than I do. So your whole first question is based on assumptions that are wrong. You do have some facts in there, but you're making very large logical leaps and very poor assumptions. You need a lot more data, which the data that's out there does not support your question. Like I said before, more people have been killed in the name of religion than any other reason, even plagues. Number two...
Plagues are a reason.
Well... You get the idea, you know.
Fair enough.
Can you replace something with nothing, basically, is the question. Well, nature abhors a vacuum. That's a scientific theory, that nature abhors a volume. And sure, if you take something away that has existed in a spot for a while, something's eventually going to come fill that. And I feel that that's one reason why there are so many different religions, is because people moved around, maybe they forgot key facts of whatever it was that they used to believe, and so they made something up along the way, or somebody else came around and said, nope, you got it all wrong, this is what I learned, instead you need to believe this, and then of course there's all those wars over it, but as far as something filling the void for me, it didn't really create a void. For me, religion was more of, it was invasive. It was trying to tell me that, you know, my mother was bad because she believed one religion, or one religion was trying to tell me my dad was bad because he believed another religion. Well, you know, whichever religion you look at that aspect, somebody else is going to be bad. And that doesn't set a good tone for coexistence with other people. You know, if you start off believing that person's a bad person, you're going to have a bad time with that person. I saw a pamphlet that said, you know, if you come across an atheist, don't attempt to talk to them because they're going to try to, you know, turn you to the face of the devil or whatever, and they're grumpy and they're grouchy. And, well, as for the grumpy, grouchy part, when I get somebody coming up to me and trying to tell me their religion, it's like, you know what? No, thank you. I'm not interested, but I appreciate you, your enthusiasm. When they stop there, I'm good. You know, I will have no qualms about continuing to have conversations of other topics with that people. I have no problems even becoming that person's friend. I have friends that are religious. They don't preach to me. I don't anti-preach to them, if that's the only thing I kind of think of calling it, you know. Sure. But, oh, and by the way, atheism doesn't say that you're supposed to tell other people to not believe in God. But when somebody comes up to me, try to preach, I tell them, please, no thank you, I'm not buying what you're selling, and they don't stop, in fact, they get more aggressive, yeah, I'm going to get you, because now you're basically invading my personal space and my personal life. And I've told you, I already gave you a warning, I already told you, please, no. No, thank you, I said it politely. And now, that's like me trying to come knocking on your door saying, hi, I'd like to come into your home, I'd like to take a dump in your toilet, I'd like to raid your fridge, and if you, by the way, if you have a young daughter of appropriate age, I'm going to be staying the night in her bedroom, and you telling me no, and I'm going, mm-mm, it doesn't matter what you say, I'm coming in anyway. You know what? You're going to be pissed too. So that kind of pressure that religion was putting on me, this whole faith and belief and everything else, and then seeing the way the world is, when I said, you know what, religion's just not for me, I can't, there is nothing here that makes me believe in an almighty higher power authority, or many little ones, you know, even. I'm done with it. It felt like somebody took a load of bricks off my back. It was easier for me to go to work. It was easier for me to relate with my friends and my family. It was easier for me to pay attention to the personal things in my life that needed attention. So, yeah, you know what the void was filled with when I left religion behind? Happiness. Number three, how do you... dead horse again. Once again, what Witchy said, because I can't say it any better. I really can't. Number four, utopian atheist society. First off, my idea of a society that would be utopian has absolutely nothing to do with atheism or religion at all. It actually has to do with resources. Now, granted, I am not speaking for the atheist community because, no offense, but there's the atheist community didn't come knocking on my door saying, hey, we want you as our voice, as our figurehead. Besides, no offense, they could probably pick somebody a heck of a lot better. thank you for the... I was waiting for the giggle.
Someone was volunteering.
I'd be more inclined to go knocking on Bill Nye's door than yours, Susan, but, you know, you would definitely make a good runner-up.
That's fine. Look, it could be me, it could be Uncle Kage. You know what? I'm happy to be in that company with Bill Nye as it is. Yeah. Although, go Beepkin.
Anyway, my version of utopian society is actually nothing new. It is nothing that I thought up all by myself. It's actually something I learned from other people. And a lot of these other people that I learned little bits here and there from, no, they weren't all atheists. And what it is, it's a resource-based economy. It's basically Star Trek. You know, we make sure that everybody has what they need. Now, if you want to pull religion into that, by the way, Jesus was a big believer in helping the poor and the healing the sick, you know. So, at least in the stories, he was. So, anybody who's basically against this concept and they say that they're devout Christians, I question their faith. At least their belief in the faith, I do. Not their religion. But, Gandhi said, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. It's a paraphrase. It wasn't exactly said that way. I think he used, I think I added a word to it. Anyway.
Yeah, accidentally a word.
Yeah. But he said the same train of thought. But the idea of a resource-based economy, that means that everybody goes to bed with a full tummy. Everybody who's sick has the option, the choice to go and seek medical help. Everybody has a job to do. And I'm not saying like communism, like you will earn this and you will do this. It's more of, you know, you really have a natural talent for biology. Have you thought of going into medical science, because we have a lot of problems in the world right now with, I don't know, I'm just going to dysentery, you know, something or other. You know, whereas maybe another person is like, you know, you're a wonderful singer. When you sing, you bring joy to other people. Have you thought of a career in singing? Because that would be extremely beneficial to humanity as a whole. Okay? So my idea of a utopian society is where people are working together, not just for themselves, but for their neighbors and their neighbors' friends and the people halfway across the world that they have never met. But they also know that those people halfway across the world are working to make their lives better for them. So everybody is working for each other in any capacity that they have, even if it's something as simple as picking up garbage, because let's face it, some people just don't have the skills to play a Stradivarius or to handle the ivory keys on a piano, or maybe they don't have the, you know, maybe they have, they were born with some kind of genetic disorder that doesn't stop their hands from shaking so they could never hold a scalpel, you know? But maybe they have something else, you know? There's always something else that people can do, and it can all be worked out. And we have the technology, we have the sciences, we have the methodologies to implement it. What we don't have is we don't have people working together. We have people fighting over resources. That's a big one right there. And the other thing we have them fighting over, believe it or not, is religious beliefs. Now, those two big ones, if we were to stop fighting over religious beliefs and just agree to disagree, but go on with our lives, not force it down each other's throats, let people live how they want to live, as long as they're not harming another human being. And I'm sorry, but despite what you may think, if your next door neighbor doesn't believe in God and you do, that next door neighbor isn't harming you just because they have a different belief. And if you feel that they are, you are very insecure in your faith, and maybe you should go see one of your higher ups and tell them about your insecurities, and maybe you can learn why you're so insecure about it. But once again, that involves questioning, and your a lot of faiths teach you not to question them. So you may, depending on where you are in the world when you're hearing this, if you actually do take my advice and do something like that, it could get you killed. Whereas with atheism,
your mileage may vary, you know, with his advice, basically.
Exactly. And once again, I am not speaking on the behalf of the atheist community. I am speaking on behalf of myself as a human being who sees a way for the world to advance itself, to people to live and enjoy everything that this life has to offer. Because I have a son. He's 8. He just turned 8. And, you know, he questions a lot of things, and I do everything in my power to answer every single one of his questions. His mother, not so much. A lot of times, when he asks a question, like he asked me once, why is there lightning? And I said, well, have you asked mommy this question before? And he said, yeah. She said that God makes it. I said, oh, well, would you like to hear what I learned about how lightning is made? And he said, yes. So we sat down together, and I explained to him the physics behind lightning. And I even showed him time-lapse photos that we had of high-speed photos of lightning bolts actually forming. And yeah, he was just stuff. He loves it. He wants to be an astronaut when he gets older. Mm. Yeah. So, you know what? If he becomes an astronaut because he falls through with his science and studies and everything else, and he chooses to believe in a God, am I going to think any less of him? No. It's not just because he's my son. It's just because that's his belief. I choose to respect that. But, you know, atheism as a whole is not a means towards anything. It's just a label that says that you don't believe in God. Anybody's God. It doesn't matter whether it's the Muslim God. It doesn't matter if it's Buddha. And you know what? It doesn't even matter if it's Yahweh. And for you Catholics out there, if you don't recognize that name, you've got some homework to do.
Mm-hmm. Even Jehovah's
Because I've met a lot of them.
Even Jehovah's Witnesses know Yahweh.
Yep. Okay.
You have no idea how many Catholics and Christians I know. I have no idea. They think it's a third world country God, and that's blasphemy to say the name.
No, that's your God, guys.
Yep.
The Abrahamic God is well represented in, if memory serves, something like 85% of all religions and mm-hmm. factions currently.
Oh, so we got a new question from Ross again. The email was not.
Yep. All right, so we're going to cover this one because technically we've only got about another 5 minutes in scheduled time. So we're going to see if we can keep this pretty quick. And Ross, I want you to understand about something, because I'm a little concerned about the question as written because of the lack of a closing quote. So I'm going to put the closing quote where I think you're trying to put it. So if I misrepresent your question, please forgive me. It's not because I'm trying to. It's because I'm trying to understand it the best way as what I believe that you meant. So here's what it is. The question that was posed over here in the Q&A system is this. This, by the way, this will be the only Q&A that we're going to cover for tonight's show. Since society and its laws follow from culture, and culture flows from, in great part, its religion, the gist of my question is, quote, and remember, this is opening quote, no closing quote, so I'm gonna show where I believe the closing is. Question is, quote, do you support the rise of human secularism? I believe that's where the ending quote is, because I believe that that's what the question was supposed to be.
I agree with you.
Okay. Yeah. Because I can't see objective societal standards there. Now, if, which is a different question than if the question were the following, and I'll show you guys why I'm thinking it. Because the other possibility would be if it continued to the end, which would make the question, quote, do you support the rise of human secularism? Because I can't see objective societal standards there, unquote. Which are two very different questions.
Yes, they are.
And that's why I'm being very careful about this one.
One is adversarial and one isn't.
Sort of. One of them falls onto a fallacy of argument from ignorance. Mm-hmm. Now, we did cover a couple of logical fallacies last time out. So, in a nutshell, the question, the logical fallacy of argument from ignorance is not meant as a downplay of something. Ignorance by its own word means you do not know about something. Ignorance is not in and of itself a bad term. It is a statement of condition, meaning I, in my particular case, I am ignorant of the... Let me give you a perfect example. I am ignorant of the laws of gravitation that contribute to the Lagrange points. I don't know the actual physics behind it. As opposed to, I am ignorant of just XYZ. Doesn't matter what it is. But if you use the statement of, I can't see how X could possibly be worthwhile, that's a statement from ignorance, because there's no way to understand everything that goes into something. Just because you don't know about something, you can't state positively, you can't state a logical progression towards something, because you're dealing with a missing link in the logical chain. And I'm going to talk about logical chains another time to kind of fill in what happened with last week's show, with logic being the topic. So let me kind of cover this one now. Since society and its laws follow from culture, and culture flows from, in great part, its religion, the gist of my question is, quote, do you support the rise of human secularism? And I'm going to stop it right there for a second, because that's where the question ends, as I've understood it. And I'm going to say yes. Yes, I do. There are examples of societies where secularism is the law. And I'm saying secularism as opposed to anti-theism, as opposed to theocracy, because these are all different pieces. Secularism, and guys, make sure that I've got this correctly, secularism does not make any statement towards any religious practice, any official statement towards religious practice, meaning endorsement or hindrance of. I'm pretty sure I've got that right so far. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anti-theism would be you are disallowed by your government officially what's the word that I'm looking for? For having a religious
participating?
Participating is a good enough word for it. In a particular religion, any religion, anti-theism, any religion, versus theocracy, which says the state says you will obey this religion only and exclusively on pain of punishment.
Such as Sharia law.
Such as Sharia, yes. Which, unfortunately, there are a lot of places like that. As was stated earlier.
or Stalin warped that to the opposite way towards atheism, right, which is what Ross was trying to use earlier.
Right, but in his particular case, what he was doing, if I remember it correctly, and my history may be a little bit spotty on this one, but as you were saying earlier, wasn't it a matter that he was trying to take the Greek Orthodox Church out of the equation because from a power standpoint, an influential standpoint, they were the biggest one to the federal level government.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Which
I was just saying, he's using what you were stating as a tool.
Right.
That was the means.
Okay. So, do you support the rise of human secularism? Yes, and this kind of boils back onto what I was saying earlier. The more there is learning, the more there is empathy, the more there is inclusion, the more there is the equality question put into place. What works for me? What do I like? What do I dislike? I am part of this larger group. My family likes this. It's entirely possible that family likes the same thing. That town likes the same thing. That city, that state, that country. The people who have slanty eyes instead of round eyes. The people who are black instead of pink. The people who are living down under who were originally a penal colony. And it becomes far more a question of what divides or what brings together. Secularism does not say you must follow my teachings in regards to religion. And I'm going to use that as a blanket for a second, because I don't want to say my God claim, because Buddhism theoretically is kind of an atheistic religion of
sorts.
Yeah,
it's weird. Buddha isn't really God, but he's treated as such now, and that's not what he wanted.
Right, it's far more a philosophy.
Jesus didn't want holidays in his name, and they isn't anyway.
Yep, there's that. So that's why secular humanism tends to be a much more pulling factor and influence than religion, because by its nature, and I'm making a blanket statement, and I'm probably going to have this bite me in the ass later, but generally speaking, religions generally say, if you're not with us, you're against us, in very, very broad terms. And that's where you end up getting a lot of problems. Because if, a perfect example, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe something different than the Catholics.
Right.
You would tend to agree with that. Okay. The Jews think them different things than the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Concur.
And I think we can both agree, the Hindus with their who only knows how many gods, because I don't think they've even kept track of how many there have been through the ages, with how who only knows how many arms, don't agree with the Japanese, with the combination of Buddhism and Shintoism.
Mm-hmm. Hinduism actually believes in reincarnation based upon the life that you've lived.
Yep, exactly
you
so.
Could be, you know.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, even eating meat can actually affect your reincarnation status. They didn't know how to treat my teacher in high school when he had actually gone overseas for a teacher exchange program of sorts, much like students do. And the problem is that they didn't know how to classify him because he was a teacher, which is the highest of the highest levels that you can obtain in terms of reverence and what's going to happen to you when you are reincarnated. But at the same time, he was the lowest of the low of the human, of being human, because he chose to eat meat. So here he had complete polar opposites. They could not figure out what to do with him because their teachers, all their teachers at that time anyway, mind you, this was back in 1994, did not eat meat. They could not eat meat. It was against their belief, you know, and they were that highly elevated. They knew that if they ate, it would drag them down lower and possibly lose their teaching position. So they didn't know what to do with the guy. They couldn't classify him, and he thought it was funny as heck.
Yeah. Okay. All right, now that we've gone forward on that one, let me take the backward side of it really quickly. Since society and laws follow from culture, and culture flows from, in great part, its religion. Now, I want to take that part. The religion, as far as the Bible followers are concerned, the Bible, I will admit, has some incredibly beautiful passages. Stuff that will bring someone who believes in love, who feels true, whole, felt, body warming love, would find absolutely gorgeous. As a matter of fact, when I was married, there were the passages that were said in the church when my wife and I were married, about how a man will come together with his with a woman, and they will be one. And the passages were beautiful because it felt, and it still does even to me now, it felt quite accurate to people coming together and sharing their lives, meshing the... I like the metaphor of the fates from, Greek mythology, I believe it was?
Yes.
Okay.
It was Greek.
Okay. The three fates, and I don't want to go with the names of them because I can't pronounce them, but one was the child, one was the adult, and one was the old crone. And they wove the skeins of life. The birth of a life was governed by the child who began the skein of life. The weaver who wove the lives in between each other was the middle, the adult. And the end of life was governed by the crone who would clip it and end it. And all of the lives were woven into this immense tapestry that no mortal could ever hope to see because we're part of it. But each life interacts with all the others into this amazing tapestry that is society and life as we see it. Now, I view that as a metaphor, a beautiful one, but a metaphor just the same. And religion, the mythology of the time was the religion of the day. And it was believed that those were the pieces that governed lives. Now for me, I view that as a metaphor for how we all interact one to another. We all interact societally one with another, even if we don't even recognize it, even if it's just a matter of accidentally bumping somebody or not, which happens far more often. So the religions have their points that help, certainly, and make us appreciate each other. But in and amongst all of that beauty, all of that heart-wrenching love, with the Bible, there are some incredibly horrific, damning pieces that today no sane person would ever conceive. And I can give you a perfect example because it happened in real life. There is a passage, and I forget exactly where it is, that though it did not specifically influence the person, is a direct comparison. There was a woman in Texas who had three or four children, all of which were under the age of 13, if I remember correctly. And she took one by one, except, and one got away. Took them each one by one to the bathroom.
And drowned them.
And drowned them. Because she did not want their souls tainted. Because of this book, I'm pretty sure you've heard of it. Am I being snarky about that one? Yes. And I am going to try really hard not to be most of the time. But it was done because the belief was if they grew up, they would become tainted. Now, in the Bible, and again, I forget where the passage is, it specifically says that if your child, your male child, is unresponsive to you, as if you are their parent and they are unresponsive to you, not catatonic, not respecting you, if they do not obey you, if they do not respect you, that you are obliged to take them forward to the people who are the elders of your group and say whatever it is and complain about them and basically get the permission from the elders of your group to take them out into public and kill them by having them suffocated under weight of rocks and stones. And that is your obligation as written into the Bible. By no stretch of the imagination is there any way to misinterpret it or to take that something like that out of context. It is simply not possible. And that is codified law. That is what you are expected to do. Am I specifically cherry picking that one item? Absolutely. And I'm sure that you can figure out why. And I know full well that my co-hosts will completely agree on this one, even though I normally would not speak for them. One instance does not dictate the whole, as we said earlier in everything else. But is it damning for the whole? Completely, no. But does it taint a, does it paint a huge target that should be addressed? I think so. I don't know if you guys wanted to hit this one for, you know, two more minutes before we get out of here. Tech, you wanna? Did you have something for like two? Or did we lose you?
I think we lost his audio.
Tech, can you hear me?
I think he's trying to get his audio back. He can hear us.
But apparently, yeah, we've had this problem with Google Hangouts before. Sometimes his audio does not come out to us, even though he can hear us, which, yeah, is a big old pain in the butt.
He'll be back.
All right, we're going to see what happens. All right, so, Witchy, I'm going to throw it over to you for two. We'll see if we can get Tech back.
Well, it looks like he's coming back. I'll see if we can get him back first, and if not, then I'll take a quick swing at it. And nice response there, Frost, by the way.
Yeah, all right, so Tech, let's see what we got.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Okay, what I was going to say was is an addendum to what you were saying about that rule from the Bible. I've heard a lot of people of the Judeo-Christian faith actually say, well, you know, that's the Old Testament, and the New Testament abolished that when Jesus came about. And they're failing to remember, and I believe it was in the book of Matthew, that Jesus was quoted as saying that I have not come here to actually abolish the rules that were set before me, but basically to add to them. And so all those old rules, they're technically, according to that guy, still in effect. Mm-hmm. Which means that some people really need to get up, caught up in the slaughtering of the virgin lambs, you know?
And, you know, no longer eating shellfish, which sucks because I really like crabs.
But, and I agreed with Susan. Yes, one bad apple can spoil the few around it, but it doesn't necessarily spoil the whole orchard.
Which, of course, has got everything to do with the whole, you know what the hell, I'll go ahead and I'll do it. So, no, that is not an endorsement that AJ is best pony, so get over yourselves. Witchy, 2 minutes for you on that one.
I was thinking Granny Smith was best pony in that instance, but you know, whatever. Honestly, yes, I support the rise of human secularism, because why not? What possible harm can come from treating your fellow man or woman or child as someone deserving of respect and care simply for the fact that they're human? No, doesn't matter what else there is to them. They're human. They deserve to be treated well. They deserve to be helped out. What possible harm can come from that? So yes, I support the rise of human secularism for that reason.
Which makes a lot of sense. All right. With that, just really quickly, Ross did remind us that it was Andrea Yates.
And thank you. I could not remember her name for the life of me.
Yeah, it's an incredibly sad story, and made even worse that it was done for, I'm not going to say for no reason, because I'm gonna leave that one aside, because that's not what I'm going for. The saddest part is that it was done to otherwise innocent lives, and the idea of morality, if I'm not mistaken, is really to protect those who cannot protect themselves more than anything else. I really think that that's where the biggest meta question of it all is. Is that, regardless of where your morality comes from, what it should be there for? And yet again, is that the finale and the end part of the question? It's just another piece of it all. My biggest piece is not to find out where the finale is. It's to really still look through the question and find out, where does it take us? And go from there. This has been episode number 5 of Holy Crap. I will be looking forward to seeing everyone again next week. Unrenowned Tech, thank you very kindly for your time, as always. And we've lost your audio again, haven't we?
No, I don't think so, did we?
Oh, see, there you go. I thought that you'd at least say goodnight.
Okay, I'll do it. Goodnight, everybody. It was wonderful being here. And by the way, Ross, don't worry. I wasn't thinking, when I said, where do you find these people, it wasn't an insult. It was just, it seems like it's the same questions over and over and over again. And no matter how many times it's answered, no matter how many different ways it's worded, because so many people don't get the answer that they want to hear, it's, they keep asking it again. And it reminded me from my old days of working in retail. Where's the ink? The ink is on the wall right behind me. You're looking right at it if you look past over my right ear. Well, where's the ink? Can you show me where it is? I'm pointing right at, well, do you know where the ink is, or do I have to ask somebody? It's right there, mother. I'm not going to say it. I want to keep this PG-rated, but it's like that, because the questions that you're asking have been answered many times in many different ways. Granted, you may not have heard the answers, but when you're in like our shoes, where we say that we're either an atheist or agnostic, a lot of these questions have been pre-prepared by churches and churchgoers, and they constantly throw it out there to say, ha, you're wrong. And so, yeah, we hear it again and again and again and again. That's all that is. I by no means think that you're an unintelligent person. and you're asking questions because you want to know the answers, and I commend that highly.
Yes, as a matter of fact, forgive me for cutting you off on this one for a second, I'll bring you back.
I was done.
We have actually said on several occasions that we really like you participating because we do not think that you are asking questions in bad faith to be mean-spirited or anything like that. We do believe, specifically you, Ross, that your questions are from your standpoint and are well thought about. So we, please, by all means, keep going. We really, really do like it. You work with stuff that we challenge to work through. So thank you.
Just do us all a favor, Ross. If you ever hear somebody say that Hitler was an atheist, you've got to set them straight because there are people who are trying to rewrite the history books in not country, but in countries like Germany and in other countries where they're actually trying to make Hitler out to be an atheist. They're literally trying to rewrite the history books. We cannot let things like that happen, not because it makes the church look bad, but because it's a lie. And when we start changing the history to conform to what we think it should have been,
we
are lying to ourselves and we're lying to our family and our friends, and we start to repeat
the problems and the issues that led to those problems in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah, and matter of fact, I'm gonna come back to that around in just a couple of moments. Witchy, thank you also very kindly for your time.
It is my pleasure, Shijin. Thank you, Unrenown Tech, for joining us as always, and good night. I'm gonna try to go to bed here shortly and not cough my lung up this weekend.
Chicken soup.
Not for this cold.
Flood your body with vitamin C too, by the way. They're actually proving that has a whole bunch of positives, whether you're sick or cancer or what, or even arthritis.
I will hit up CVS tomorrow.
There you go.
All right. There we go. Now, I have to find this quote before we get out of here. Because there is a... Shoot. I need to find that one quote because it is so incredibly important. And please forgive me for being caught unawares. It's much more a matter of... it was said, and I'm looking it up as quickly as I possibly can. Oh... Because the quote is far more impressive than the misquoted version. His quote, and it was Satayana who said it. And I need to find it because it is so, so important. Damn it! See, this is the problem. I need to... Oh, crap! Okay. I know. Before anybody gives me any kinds of grief about this, I know.
You know what, Sujin? I have something to say real quick while you're searching for that. It may give you a little extra time. And this is towards Ross. If not sure, well, actually, it can be for anybody, really. Tonight, you've heard the phrase, the concept of secular humanism. And if you don't feel that you have as deep an understanding as you should have from the little bit that we've talked about, and by no means probably won't, if all we're basing that knowledge on is what we've talked about tonight. Go on to Wikipedia and literally search for secular humanism. It has a really well laid out page with lots of information, and it's pretty spot on. I really couldn't find anything in there that was wrong in the technical sense. There were a couple concepts that I might disagree with, but then again, I'm a human being. You know, I'm going to disagree with something somewhere, whether it's written or spoken. Just
how
because
dare you?
I know, I'm but it has a really good entry into the page. And just give it a once over and have at it.
Yep. And I was finally able to find the piece that I was intending to look for. In and amongst the videos that I had done before, like I had said, was something called the Flashback Newscast, where I talked about the news of that particular calendar week, I believe I pronounced that correctly, and intentionally spotlighted certain items from that week that were terribly important. One of which was the story of the Nazi concentration camps during World War II, where a British soldier, actually take that back, I don't remember if he was a soldier or not, intentionally had himself captured in order to be sent to the camps to gather information, to help the people who were inside, to form resistance and get information out, eventually escaped, brought his information back to Great Britain, who said, what you're describing can't possibly be happening. When actually, yeah, it was even worse than what he described. One of the items that was covered during my newscasts was about Auschwitz specifically. And currently, on a plaque outside of Auschwitz was a quote by Satyana, which states, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." This quote has been misappropriated several times over. It has been misstated several times over. But the sentiment is still the same. Knowing the truth of what has happened over the eons of recorded civilized history is the only way to learn, to understand, and to eventually come to agreement of how we as a society should behave to one another. Auschwitz is a beautiful example of what should not. It is pure barbarism, unfeeling, and brutal efficiency. We've learned that, as has been stated before, if nothing else, human society has become incredibly efficient at destroying itself. I don't want that. And I don't want that for my posterity, no matter where it might be. And as a proof of how much I think secular humanism can be a proper moral background and backbone, I'm pretty sure that most people would agree that's not the way to be. Am I saying that the Nazi system was religiously based? No. I'm saying that a secular humanist would never do something like that. Am I setting myself up for failure because I'm making an absolute? Yes. Am I saying it as fact? No. I say it as a hope. With that, we come to a 90-minute episode again, which is not what my intentions have been, although I'm working at it. We'll see. Our next show is going to be from the 22nd into the 23rd, midnight Eastern Time, U.S. I will be here again. Those of you that would like to follow along for me over on Twitter and G+, I am starting to put out the word on Twitter now, including including G+, to announce the shows. I am not yet doing it on Facebook. I expect that I will begin doing that by the end of March, because there is going to be a huge amount of blowback on Facebook by people who know me, who are going to be really pissed off at me for doing this. And I'm not really ready for that just yet. I know it is inevitable, But I also know full well that I want to be in a position where I can actually say, I know what the hell I'm talking about. And if you want to go ahead and give me grief about it, bring it to the table. Otherwise, why bother? So, Witchy, Unrenowned Tech, thank you very kindly. And Ross, thank you for your insights. They are truly appreciated. And those of you that would like to send information my way, if you'd like to send comments or show ideas, please by all means send them to me under the name shujintribble@gmail.com. I will get to those. And I think one of the next shows, if not next week, possibly the... Oh, wait a minute. There is a...
We have 2 weeks before yes, we have, that. I was just figuring it out for you.
Yes. We have 2 weeks before the scheduled week off for an arts convention that Witchy and I are going to be going to. We can discuss that at another time. But for the time being, I believe either next week or the week after, what we'll talk about are these tropes, these questions that keep coming up time and time and time and time again. Not because they're annoying, but because they do come up time and time again. And it'll probably be a good idea to cover these as easily as possible, with as little pain as possible. Because really, it's not so hard. Until the next time we all get together again, of course, as always, thank you all. My lovely, lovely lady, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. Until the next time, everyone, I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. Until the next time, good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.